Good evening, family. It has been a fantastic day. It has been fantastic. McKenna's baptism this morning. Then we got a video of our niece being baptized this morning as well. It's been fantastic, right? And you just think about those two that we know of, how many more had devoted themselves to the Lord today? It's just something mind-blowing to think about. If you're wondering why the slide this week looks the same as it did last week, there's a reason for that. As I was sitting down and doing all the prep work and getting ready to get into what we were going to be talking about this week, it was determined that that would be talked about next week, and we would talk about this week what we're going to be talking about tonight. And so this is a continuation of our subject last week of why the world needs Christians. And we've talked about this in this basic combat course so far. Looking first at the reality of the battlefield and our place on it. That this isn't a in the rear with the gear type behavior that we're, or attitude that we need to have when we come into our Christianity, but knowing that we are being thrust on a very real battlefield that is for truth and the hearts and souls of those who are either believing the truth or not believing the truth. Last time we got around this subject, we talked about why the world needs Christians. In particular, we talked about the reason the world needs Christians is because the world needs love. Remember, I quoted that amazing song by Burt Bacharach to us? And that's what the world needs, and we're the only ones that understand what love is. We're the only ones that can actually communicate that message of love to people. And the main issue that we're going to be dealing with tonight as we continue talking about this idea of why the world needs Christians, I'll just be straight up and honest with you. Nothing I'm about to tell you have I never told you before. No scripture that we're going to read have we never read together. That everything I'm about to say, we all know. But I want to see if we can take it beyond just knowing and open our eyes a little bit to the reality of what is actually going on in the world today. Because everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that God has done for us and through us is for a very specific purpose. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Even though verse 13 could be read along in this, we're going to focus on the one idea that Jesus is presenting here about light. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So here Jesus is presenting a vision or a view, I guess we could say, of what God is expecting from his people. This hasn't changed. Nothing is new. He's always expected his people to be a light of the world. And God, as he's designing us to be this light, or we could even think of it as a beacon, something that actually shines out into the darkness, that the entire purpose of that light is to, I know this is going to be shocking, shine. It's meant to go forth. This applies to us individually. It applies to us corporately as a body. And God put this light, that would be us, okay, in the house, Des Moines, or the world, for the purpose of giving this light. And so he likens it to a light on a lampstand. And it's weird for us to think about lampstands and everything else in this age of electricity. But if you want to bring it up to date, how many of us have actual lamps on a stand in their house? If you've been to my house, you know we have 50. Right? Because my wife was raised by a man whose eyesight wasn't terrific and needed to have light in every corner of the house. Because if he found himself to be working there, and I can't tell you how many times I heard John say when he was working in an area that I could see perfectly fine in, he'd go, "We need some light." And he would turn around, and he would go to his garage, and he would go to the very specific spot in the garage where he knew all of the extra lamps were. Okay? Pull the extra lamp down, go get a drop cord from the drop cord spot in the garage, walk back to the area. By the time he got light there, I could have finished the job. But the point was, he knew that light was needed in order to be able to accomplish what he was wanting to accomplish, and that's what Jesus is likening us to. If God's wanting to accomplish very specific things in this world, and He's put light there in order to do it. But here's some curious things about this vision that Jesus is presenting here in Matthew chapter 5. Notice, first, this light can be hidden. It can be turned off. That just because God has purposed us to shine, He still allows us to choose whether or not we're going to shine. And so we can hide the light. That doesn't mean the light is hidden. Don't misunderstand me. But we are choosing to hit the switch, turn that light off. Just because we choose that doesn't make it go away. And here's the next question, the next point that we need to pull out of this. Light is not ashamed of being light. You ever turn on a light and hear the light go, "Oh, turn me off. I don't want to be light." No. It's not ashamed of being light because it is doing what it is designed to do. It is what it is. Everyone knows that it's a light. If we were to turn off all the lights in here, guess what? Everybody would know. The lights got turned off. Light is not ashamed of being light. Light knows what it is, and it is happy fulfilling that purpose. And it's also not exclusive about who it shines on either. Right? Now, a flashlight's very particular about where it shines. In fact, you can get some pretty high-speed flashlights. You can dial it down to where you're really focusing on a very specific subject. There may be a little bit of ambient light left on the outside of that, but there is no determination from a lampstand where that light is going to go. It's not being directed on anyone in particular. We need to be paying attention to this. Because how many times do we find ourselves really wanting to shine, but only in a particular area? Jesus' point here is, no, that's not how God's purposed light to work here. It shines everywhere. It's nothing to be ashamed of, but that's how light works. Raise your hand if that's all completely new information. Yep, okay, that's what I thought. Here's why the world needs Christians. Because I think, I could be wrong, I was wrong once, you can ask my wife. But I think one of the hindrances we have in actually accomplishing what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5 is our misconceptions about the state of the battlefield. How many of us know Christians? Whether they're claiming, I don't care, I'm not even putting a limit on what that definition of the word is. Okay, we know people who will claim to be Christians, right? How many of those people that you know that claim to be a believer, that claim to love God, okay? And listen, we're not even talking about atheists or anything at this point, okay? But how many of those people believe that they have a good grasp on things eternal? I'll be honest with you, most of the people that I have conversations with, when we finally get it turned to the eternal, they feel like they have a good grasp on the eternal and how things are. But I want to share a few points from a research study that was done in 2016. I know that's 4 years old, but we're not that far out from 2016. Okay, we're in 2020. I'll share some findings from the State of American Theology Report. You ready? The Bible has the authority to tell us what we must do. Can you guys read that okay? Because I'm not going to read it. We should be really concerned with this. The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. You know, and on the not sures, those don't even bother me. I don't know about the rest of you, but the not sures, I'm like, okay, we can work with that. It's the strongly agree and the those strong opinions on it where we really are facing some challenges on that. Here's another one. Even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. Percent of those that were part of this research disagree that the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. Do we understand why that's such a big deal? For one thing, we don't view sin as big, small, or medium, right? It's sin is sin, and all sin is worthy of death, and all have sinned. And that's how we view it. We've got people that believe the Bible contains helpful myths. We've got people that believe the Bible has no authority to tell us how to live. And these are people that claim to be Christians. We live in a time of darkness. Intellectually, spiritually, we are not in the age of enlightenment anymore. So let's not assume that everybody in our culture, in our society, in our world knows about Jesus. They may know his name. They may have a vague idea of what he was doing. But we live in a society that purports to love God and the Bible, but they seem kind of fuzzy on the details. That's one misconception, I think, that keeps us from actually letting the light shine and being indiscriminate in letting the light shine, is that we have serious misconceptions about the state of society and the state of the world. It may not be that all of us have those misconceptions, but I think it's a pretty big deal. Another thing I think that allows us to not fulfill that mission is the feelings of inadequacy. Right? Let's go back to these slides real quick. Let's say that this one really disturbs us, right? This one lights a fire underneath us. We're going to go out, we're going to really start working on the people that we know, explaining this in a loving way, because remember, the world needs love, and we're here to profess that love, and we want to make sure that all of this is going on. How many of us feel adequate to the task to actually refute that? What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians that Ron read to us? You guys remember that? Let's go back to it. Let's read it again. Consider your calling, brethren. There were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Who was the inadequate that was called to God's purpose? I was. Who was the simple that was called to make the world wise? I was. Who's the weakling that was called to show strength? I was. So who thinks we're inadequate to the task? We do. God doesn't. God does not believe that we are inadequate to the task of fulfilling his purpose in this world. He has faith that we can actually be who the world needs. That's why he put us here. And God's glory isn't shown through man's strength, but through man's weakness. And it's because of that weakness we really don't have any right to boast in ourselves. That's what Paul's point in all of this. But we can boast in the Lord. And we can feel adequate to the task that God has put us out here for. And let's just be honest with each other on this one. How many of us believe we have it totally all together? All right? Notice I'm not raising my hand on this one either, okay? I don't have it all together. But because of Jesus, we do. And in those areas where I may not necessarily have beefed up on the knowledge or the experience or whatever else that is out there, I just happen to find myself in a group of other light bearers who might just have that experience. Do we honestly think that the experiences that we're going through, nobody else has to deal with? No. In fact, I think I've read somewhere that there are brethren going through like experiences, just as you. That any inadequacy that we feel to the task of what God is doing and why He has put us here is all on us and Satan lying to us, which, by the way, is a real battlefield tactic. We are not inadequate to this. God has made us adequate in Jesus. He knows that we can do it. He knows that we can fulfill His purpose because He knows that the world needs it. And we are the ones who have been put here to share it. And so as we carry forth that message of love, the light goes with us. And I think if we can fully embrace and accept this, the light becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. The world gets a little less darker, one soul at a time. Today, the world's a little less darker. The world needs us, guys. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about how to do this together. But for now, let's just focus on this concept that we are the ones who understand love and what love is, and that we can shine that light indiscriminately on all of those that we come into contact with. Raise your hand if you're the lampstand. Des Moines, the house. Carlisle is the house. Bondurant is the house. Pleasant Hill is the house. Altoona is the house. Are you shining or not? We're going to stand and sing the song that Joe's selected for us tonight. And we'll use this as a moment in time of encouragement, another time of encouragement, to sing together, to sing to each other. Yeah, in this time period, as we make the confession and profession of what the song is telling us that we're singing about, that we encourage those who have not accepted the reality of truth in Jesus Christ, acknowledging Him for who He is as the Son of God and the Savior of mankind, putting Him on in baptism and having their sins washed away. If you're ready to do that and take those steps, this is a time of encouragement for you to do that, to be strengthened in that, because everybody here who has done that understands what death feels like. We understand what it feels like to walk out of darkness and into light. And we can help you with that. If you need the prayers of the body, counsel from the elders, whatever it is we can do for you, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.